recent months, and I believe we have a presentation in your books, and as well, it's up on the screen for your viewing. We saw a traffic rebound beginning in 2010, and late 2013, we had a significant uptick in travel. But the good news is, so far this year, toll transactions, they're up 4.9% from May to July of 2015 versus the same time period for 2014. We are having our busiest summer travel season on record, and during this time period, we've seen the 10 busiest travel days in agency history. This is a graph that represents the weekday transaction growth. I remind this committee that this is transactions, this is not revenue. Is the black line is 2015, the green line 2014, blue 2013, and yellow 2012. And I believe the graph is very self-evident that our transactions in June and July are approaching 2.8 and 2.9 million. Continuing on, Friday, July 24th was the busiest transaction day in the tollway's history at 2.95 million transactions. And as you can see, the 10 busiest transaction days in the toll history occurred in May, June, and July. So we're seeing increased travel. So we did a little deeper dive into why we're seeing this growth in travel. If we could advance to the next slide, please. Naturally, we have some continued economic expansion in the region. We're starting to see some robust economic development activity throughout northeastern Illinois. Our regional employment numbers are recovering. We've got some lower fuel prices. And we believe there's an ongoing realization of the roadway investments made over the past decade have made the Illinois Tollway a better value for the motoring public. So from a revenue growth standpoint, we're showing you here 2014 versus 2015 revenue growth. As you can see, the trends are pretty consistent with some significant growth over the months from January to July, six-month revenue projection. What's next? Our August revenues are typically the highest volume of transactions, although we had spikes, as you saw, in June and July. Typically, we have the consistent highest volume of transactions in the month of August, and our growth has continued. Our forecast for our growth is to continue into 2016. So, with all of that growth and all of that activity on the tollway, we'd like to provide you all and the public some reminders. The best time to start your weekend trip is Thursday before 1 p.m. I know sometimes that conflicts with people's work schedules, but if you can take the time off work and get on the roads Thursday before 1, it's going to be an easier trip for you. Or Fridays between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. or after 7 p.m. And we always encourage you to know before you go, sign up for tollway trip tweets, view real-time tollway road cameras, and go online and check travel times at www.travelmidwest.com. Thank you very much for your time and attention. There is some additional information in your packets on transaction growth and the like, some detail behind some of the information that we provided. But as always, I'm happy to entertain any questions or comments the directors may have on this topic at this time. Director Sauer.
Great. Thanks. The numbers are great. Looks like everything's going in the right direction. Amazing that right now is high. But questions on the communication piece, other than anybody that's watching our meetings, what, I guess this is a question maybe for you or maybe for our folks that manage these, what's the tweet name? What's our Twitter handle?
I would refer to our communications department at Joelle McGinnis.
We have four Twitter accounts, one for each of our roadways.
Okay.
So,
okay, so there's,
you can tailor your tweets to your traffic trip.
Perfect. And then the other question I had was for the website and finding out, going online and figuring out the travel times. Do we ever post those on any of the electronic boards that we may have or the state may have to get more information out?
The travel times are posted on the over-the-road dynamic message signs. You see them.
No, I mean the website itself, starting to interrupt.
We sync up with the Travel Midwest in a partnership with Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, DOTs and the tollway, and those travel times are collectively gathered on that website.
But I believe, Director Sauer, what you're asking is, do we ever lead people to the website on our electronic messaging boards to visit the tollway website for more information?
I'm just thinking before I leave the house, if I'm Joe Citizen wanting to get on the tollway, if there's something I can look at, it's Twitter, the specific roadway or if it's the website, how do we make sure that they look at that before they leave? So.
We do in a number of ways, through the Know Before You Go, encouraging folks to go up there. We certainly are welcome any ideas that you might have to kind of expand on that and get folks to go out there and look. We work with our traffic partners, Fox and NBC. They promote that for us as part of their morning traffic.
That's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll talk to you more offline. Just not ideas. I just want to know more and get that word out there more. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
There's no other questions on the traffic update. I would like to introduce our chief engineer, Paul Kovacs, who's going to give us a couple of presentations. There are some items on today's agenda regarding change orders and extra work orders, and Paul is going to give us a presentation on managing construction changes, as well as an update on the eastern section of I-90's construction. Paul.
Thank you, Executive Director. Good morning, directors. Engineering's got, as the Executive Director mentioned, 22 items on the agenda today, so recognizing that you're all new, we wanted to give you some background on some of these items and also welcome you to the best road building agency in the whole country. The first topic I'm going to discuss is how we handle construction changes, and I wanted to tell you that we have a very strong process in place at the tollway for addressing construction changes. It's been essential to keeping our projects on schedule and on budget. It also provides our contractors with the direction that they need to move forward with work, and it's helping us and enabling us to develop early and complete documentation on all the changes that we have to address while our contract is in progress. And that's not an unusual condition for construction. Construction is a very dynamic process. We expect changes. We know that they're common. There's a wide variety of factors that can lead to changes on these contracts, and most of the reasons for these changes are beyond the tollways and our contractors' direct control. And some examples of that are weather. We don't control the weather. There are other issues such as underlying soil conditions. We do have a very strong design process where we go out and take soil borings ahead of time, but we cannot take enough soil borings to predict what's going to be underneath every portion of the roadway that we're working on. We recognize the need that we have to have a very strong process in place to track and monitor these changes. We do report to the board members each month in our monthly capital program report on the status of all the changes that have been addressed in the previous month. Because we have such a strong process, I think the tollway does a great job on managing change. Across the nation, we know that highway construction costs due to field changes average between 5 to 10% of the contract amounts. And since 2005, with all the capital programs, deliveries that we've had, we're averaging at just under 0.5%. So we know we're doing really well compared to the rest of the country on that. And I think another important thing that it's good for the board members to recognize is just how big our program is. And this year we're committing to deliver $1.6 billion, which is going to be more than the tollway has ever delivered before in any single year. And what that translates into in real life is, especially in this third quarter here where we're going to be doing a lot of paving work, it's about $6 to $8 million a day worth of spending that we have going on. So these are big numbers, and it's hard to adjust the way you look at this program and the way you think about our work, you know, without considering the magnitude of what we're doing and how it translates into the dollars and cents. Anyways, back in 2005, our board recognized that this was going to be a critical element of our program, how we address changes, and they actually adopted a policy that established our C5 committee, which is a Contract Cost Change Controls Committee. C5 is authorized by the Board of Directors to review all the documentation coming in from the field regarding any changes. C5 is made up of three engineering representatives. They all have design and construction experience. In addition, we invite finance, procurement, and audit representatives to attend and monitor what goes on at these meetings. C5 reviews every single field change request that comes into the tollway, and those are all documented in a document that we call an authorization to proceed, ATP for short. The C5 committee, they don't approve these changes, but what they do is they have the ability to audit these changes, compare them to the original contracts, and then they can either recommend that it be rejected, send it back out to the field and say you have to revise and resubmit it with additional information, or say this is consistent with our specifications and it should be considered for approval. After C5 makes this ruling on each and every ATP that we have that comes in, it goes to the proper signature authority for approval, and the board has delegated signature authorities amongst various levels of the folks who work here. For instance, project managers, they have the ability to approve everything that's less than $30,000. The chief engineer can approve things less than $100,000. And I think an important thing for you to realize is that every change that's above $200,000, we bring to the board, and I have to present it to you and give you all the details regarding that. Just as some background on this, since 2012, about 4,260 field changes have been processed. 58 have come to the board, so 58 of those 4,000 were above the $200,000 threshold level. I think another thing that gets lost, because we document every single change, not only the increases, but also the decreases. So in that same time period, we also had 900 of these ATPs come in that actually decreased the dollar value. So, you know, we could not stay within 0.5% of our contract awards if there wasn't a lot of balancing going on between some of the increases and also some of the decreases that come in. This slide is a simplification of the whole ATP process. We have a very detailed flowchart, which would overwhelm most folks, but it gives you an idea of how an ATP moves through it. And the main thing is you should know is that an ATP allows the work to move forward. And that's really critical to us because we do not want to delay construction contracts in the field because the more time that the contractors are standing around idling, the more money it's going to cost the tollway in the end. So we want to give them positive direction as soon as we can. These ATPs start in the field with our construction managers. Those are our consultants who we pay to oversee these jobs for us. They document the reason for the change. They also give us an estimate on the dollar value. Comes into the C5 committee. They do their audit, make a recommendation to the chief engineer. In addition, we had a recent legislative change that also required every change above $30,000 also goes to our state purchasing officer. So that's Vicky Santiago currently. She serves the tollway. She's not a tollway employee. Every change above $30,000 gets posted on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin so that everyone can see what's going on. As a rule, I'm not required to review every single change, but I do review and sign off on every single change that comes into the tollway. And as I mentioned, it's critical to allowing the work to proceed. ATPs aren't the end of the story, though, because the only way we can formally change the contract is through a change order or an extra work order, and this document really allows payment for the change. So after the contractor receives his authorization to proceed with that changed work or extra work, the CM and the contractor also work on preparing the change order or extra work order, which is based on the actual work performed in the field and measured and documented by the CM. And those come in too. And change orders, I'll spend a little time on that. The change orders are simply adjustments to the quantity of work. So it's a line item that's already been included in the contract, such as storm sewer, but for whatever reason, we don't have the proper quantities there, and we have to adjust the quantities up or down. So that's a change order. Extra work is when we're adding a new work item to the contract. So this is something that wasn't in the contract to begin with, but we recognize if we don't do it, we can't deliver the overall improvement. We have been successfully managing construction challenges and changes since 2005. I mentioned since 2012, we've had 4,000. Since 2005, we've actually processed 14,000 change orders and extra work orders. We're doing it in a very timely manner. Through 10 years of program delivery, as I mentioned, the total amount of these changes have amounted to only less than 0.5% of the overall construction work that we're doing. What this, our process allows us to do is respond to things in the field and ultimately do the right thing for our customers, which is finish our contracts on time and within the established budgets.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How has the inclusion of the SBO affected the timeliness of completing that process?
It has added some days to the process, but we have been getting very good turnaround. They grant us waivers because they recognize that construction is critical to keep moving also. So we usually get a waiver granted within 3 days, I believe.
But that waiver is from the kind of policy.
Yes.
So we're talking days, not weeks.
Yes, it is days. And really, it has to be days because we need to be moving forward on a lot of these changes very quickly, like I said, in order to avoid increased costs to the agency.
Thank you.
You can humor me, I have another presentation. This one's on the I-90 corridor, very near and dear to my heart. Also the tollway's heart, I hope. It's a $2.5 billion effort here that we have going on. We're rebuilding and widening it. I have been out on the corridor, and if you have driven through the corridor, you can see just how big this work is. We have hundreds of pieces of equipment out there. We have hundreds of workers out there, both sides of the roadway. A lot of progress is being made. Some background, and what we're focused on right now is actually the 25-mile section to the east from the Elgin Toll Plaza all the way into O'Hare Airport. We wrapped up the 37-mile section to the west of there, all the way out from Elgin to the Cherry Valley Toll Plaza. If you've driven through that, it's very beautiful. It's nice. It operates fantastically. We're hoping to accomplish the same thing on the east end. It's going to be no easy task. We're widening from 6 to 8 lanes. We've got 28 bridges. There's lots of interchanges. We're also maintaining traffic. 270,000 customers driving on this portion of the roadway every single day that we have to be aware of and take care of. I think there's no coincidence that this is really the last section of 58-year-old pavement that we're replacing. We had good reasons for that. It's a very, very challenging corridor. In addition, we're raising the bar with this corridor. It's going to be the first time we're incorporating transit along with our improvement. We're going to have a wider inside lane that we could operate with PACE buses. We're also implementing active traffic management, so this new communication system that's going to allow us to communicate with our customers in real time, we're doing that for the first time. And we have some major utilities that are either sitting within our right-of-way or right adjacent to us along this whole 25-mile section. One of them is the Nizam Jal water main, which starts out as a 90-inch at the east end. And we also had two major NICOR gas lines that are run parallel to us. We knew it was going to be a challenge, and we did our best to get ahead of a lot of the things that we know tend to screw up our progress on construction projects. And one of those is our environmental permits. Normally they take 12 months. We submitted our permit request well in advance of the required time period and then end up taking 18 months. That has had a ripple effect on this corridor. As I mentioned, we have two major utilities. They're also serving like 500,000 customers. So these utilities, because of their uniqueness, they have to be handled with a lot of care. This water main, as I mentioned, starts out as a 90-inch at the east end. It's under 150 pounds of pressure, so it's not something that you can treat very lightly. The gas mains, there's a 36-inch and a 22-inch running the whole length of the corridor right adjacent to our work zone, 500 PSI. And on top of that, the water main, its peak season is during the summer, so they don't want us to do any work during the summer adjacent to them. The gas mains, their peak service periods is during the fall and the winter, so they don't want us doing any work during the fall and the winter. So the two are mutually exclusive, so we've been jumping through a lot of hoops to try to accommodate both of these primary utilities. And I know we live in Chicago, and I've lived here my whole life, and I know that it snows in the wintertime, and I know it rains. But the weather has not been our friend so far during this time period. 2014 was like the harshest winter that we had on record. Early in 2015, we had rain. I will say the last 5 weeks have been very refreshing for us because it's been dry, and we've shown how we can make a lot of progress when the weather is cooperating with us. And I think what I want you to take away from this is that we do have to implement large projects, and we do have to coordinate with a lot of other people in order to make these projects deliver them. And a lot of these elements are beyond our direct control. So what we do and what we have done and been successful with is we develop mitigation plans to deal with these potential delays. And we do these mitigation plans because, once again, I feel the best way to serve our customers is to get these jobs done on time and within budget and get out of their way, because they do enjoy these new roads, but they do not like driving through construction while you're doing it. Our maintenance of traffic plan is a very sound plan that we're utilizing right now. We haven't had a lot of complaints about that. We're keeping the existing lanes open while we reconstruct this major interstate. We also have a very, 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 and this is not unusual for this corridor, but aggressive schedule. So we're trying to get the whole thing rebuilt and widened in 2 years' time. I think Wisconsin has a similar project going on right now. They're taking like 4 to 6 years. So we definitely, you know, pride ourselves on being able to get things done quicker. And I will tell you, we've had a fantastic partnership with our road building contractors and also our engineering firms who are helping us deliver these big projects. With the goal of completing this major project by the end of 2016, we focused on developing effective and cost-efficient solutions to mitigate the delays that we've had. And some of the things that we will do and what we are asking for your approval to do is we're going to pay for rephasing and resequencing some of our work. We're going to pay for some premium time to have the contractors work extra hours or utilize extra crews. We are going to pay for some additional materials, some additional equipment to help them increase their production time. We will also consider paying for winter work. We know that it's not done as efficiently during the winter months, but in order to get this overall improvement delivered on time, it might require that. And I've also been looking at, you know, prioritizing the improvement. So we really want to get the mainline paving done on time, because that's going to have the biggest impact on the most customers. Everything else, landscaping or any other work on the side of the road, we will most likely grant them extensions of time for that work. We have several of these recovery plans we're bringing to the board today. They've all been thoroughly vetted, reviewed, and developed with the engineers, the contractors, and also our corridor construction managers. And in addition, our program management office, who is like an independent resource for us. We know from past experience, and we know from the analysis, that really we have two alternatives. One is try to implement these recovery plans, or just give them the extra time. Push it into another year. Let it take 3 or 4 years to finish it up. What we need to be aware of is, with those extensions of times, the costs don't necessarily go away, because the contractors bid these jobs for the work to be done this year. So there's going to be labor increases, escalation on material costs. We will continue to lose revenue while the construction is in progress. So instead of 2 years of that, we're going to have 4 years or 3 or 4 years of that. It's never going to be cheaper for us, and that's why the tollway has always adopted this aggressive stance to let's get the work done on time, let's partner with the contractors to see if they can do it, and we know at the end of the day it's going to be in the best interest of our customers. So this slide, this gives you an idea of some of the work efforts going out there. This is the mainline paving up near Lee Street. Here they are installing some of the new storm sewers between Roselle and 53. And then we have, you know, retaining wall work going on I-90 near Roselle Road. I mean, these are just pictures of little segments. I mean, 25 miles both sides of the roadway. If you drive up and down it now, you get a very good overview of the type of effort going in here. So moving forward, we are either have developed or are developing these mitigation plans. We're going to bring several of them to the board today for your consideration. They've all been reviewed in accordance with the change procedure I just presented to you, and we are committed to getting the work done by 2016. We know it's going to be a huge effort. We know it's going to take a lot of efforts on not only the contractors and consultants part, but also the Coley folks. And we hope to deliver these 8 lanes by the end of 2016. So the other thing, and I did talk about the magnitude of this program, so we are implementing some changes, and these changes are coming at a cost, and that cost is, you know, in the range of $16 million. But this year on 90, we're doing $840 million just with the work that we have going on this year. So that represents only 1.9% of that overall effort. So in the larger scheme of things, these changes that we're implementing now are not that big compared to the overall effort, and also they will be less than what we would end up paying if we just extended these contracts and continued to work longer. We also, and I'm just comparing these changes to the budget for this year. I mean, we know it's a $2.5 billion corridor, so the percentage will go down even more when compared to the larger number. We do process thousands of these change orders and extra work orders on a regular basis here because we are required to document every single change to these contracts. All the increases, all the decreases, from one penny to $1 million or more. We document each and every change that occurs on these jobs, and we're averaging less than 0.5% of our overall program improvements. So we plan to continue to deliver our capital programs on time and within budget. We're all committed to that, and we have a full commitment from all the project team members to that. Any questions on that? That was primarily the story of I-90 there.
I do have just one question, Paul. I think, if I may check, you have a great number there in your change order number, 0.4%, it's a great number. Just when you mentioned, just for clarification, about something you wanted our approval for today, I'm assuming this falls above the $250,000 threshold?
$200,000, yes.
So this is what you're asking, the mitigation plans fall above that threshold, that some of the things you mentioned?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I will be presenting those individually to you later in today's meeting. But that's the background on them. Were there other questions?
Paul has one additional presentation regarding our retainage policy. Retainage is a tool that we use for financial security at the Toll Authority. And Paul, there are some items on today's agenda regarding releasing final retainage, and Paul would like to educate the newer members of our board on our retainage policy, what it is, and some ideas that we have for our retainage policy moving forward.
So, yes, we will be asking the board to approve releases of retainage, and retainage is a requirement that's placed on all Tolley construction contracts by our trust indenture. And the trust indenture is very specific about how it's supposed to be implemented and what it means, and there are rules associated with it. And basically what we're doing is we're holding back some of the contractor's earnings until we're fully assured that, you know, they're complying with our contract and they're going to close these jobs out timely for us. You should also note diversity goals are a part of all of our contracts, and we do not release final payment to the contractors until those goals have been fully vetted and addressed by our diversity department. We are looking at ways to improve the retainage process, and the next slide is the last slide, and I'm going to walk you through how retainage is done on a sample Toll contract so you have an idea. But we do get a lot of comments on our retainage policy, and we are focused on trying to improve it. Recognizing, though, that it is still a requirement of our trust indenture, some of the things we're considering is, you know, we do wait sometimes 30 days for the board to give us approval to release retainage. So one of the items that you might consider is delegating that authority, because in many cases, by the time I'm bringing it to the board, we're talking about very small dollar values, but these dollar values could have an impact not only on the prime contractors, but also on the subcontractors that work for the prime contractors, because the primes, because we're withholding some of their earnings, they will likewise withhold some of the earnings of some of their smaller subcontractors. So maybe we just go through this sample quickly. So consider a tollway contract of $10 million. Per the trust indenture, we're required to withhold 10% of the contractor's earnings as they start to deliver this work to us until they get halfway done with the job. At the point where they reach the halfway mark in their payments, they can request that no further retainage be withheld on this contract. And the chief engineer, as the chief engineer, every request that's come to me in the past 7 years, I have approved it. So we will stop withholding earnings after they get halfway done, which will allow that 10% that we started withholding from them to be reduced to roughly 5% by the time they finish the job. As they finish the job, the contractors will sometimes petition to say, you know, we finished almost all the work, we only have a small amount remaining, $100,000 remaining, can you do a partial release of retainage? And at that point, our construction manager reviews the work remaining, in this case it's $100,000, and he will say we can reduce the retainage down to 2 times the work remaining. So in this case, we're withholding $500,000 of the contractor's earnings based on 10% at the beginning of the job, and now when they request partial release, I could give them back $300,000 and we will keep $200,000 until they could lower their percent complete. And then at the very end of the job, once the work is completed, it's been accepted by the tollway, we know that they've delivered everything that they were required to under the contract, they request the remaining retainage be returned to them, and at that point I come to the board and we give them the remaining $200,000.
So, hold on, I'm sorry. So what part, when you say the 5% requires board approval, you're saying that's cumbersome because of the delays, payments all the way throughout the process?
Well, I don't know if it's cumbersome, but it does add time to the process. And we report to the board in our monthly program reports on the status of these projects and the retainages being released and the final DBE percentages achieved on each one of these contracts. So we do provide the certification engineering does that the work is proceeding and everything's going fine and there's no reason for us to withhold the earnings. It's just a question if you want me to wait until you all meet to ask you that, or if that would be something the board would consider, you know, as long as we certify that all the work's been done and everything's complete, then give them their money back and we'll report to the board through our program reports, and then you have an idea if things are working or not.
This, Director Dotson, this is basically a cash flow issue for our primes and our subs. If a work is complete and there's a final request for release of the final retainage payment the day after our August board meeting, for instance, we cannot release that until the board approves it, so there's a 30-day wait for the release of that final payment, which impacts the cash flow not only to the primes, but to the subs that the prime has on that contract.
Would it help for this committee to recommend that staff address those issues and bring it to the board when it's completed?
I think from a cash flow standpoint and with respect to the retainage policy, yes, it would. And Paul, can you touch a little bit about on the performance bonds as well, that we and how they play a role in? At the end of the day, we want to make sure the work is done and it's done according to standards. That's the most important thing.
And that's true, Executive Director. On every one of these jobs, we do have a performance bond that the contractor has to supply to us to even back up, you know, back them up, so that if the tollway were not to get what it expected out of this project, we could call their surety in and say, you know, this work has to be completed. You know, that the surety that issued the performance bond would have to follow through on any incompleted work for us. And that hasn't happened. If it's happened, it's been one time in the past 10 years that I remember.
You'll see an example later in Paul's matters that he's presenting of a $50,000 retainage on a $4 million contract. And our thought is that's something, my thought is that that's something that would reside with staff.
Sure.
With all of the checks and the balances.
I'm certainly not a fan of doing things just because that's the way you've always done it. I guess my only question would be, would it be then just Paul, who was there a committee, or who would make that? It's just you would make that decision?
So I think Director Dotson's staff would make a recommendation back to the board for changing the policy.
Okay.
We were basically looking for your acceptance of this concept before we brought some final details together. I'd also remind you that IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, does not have a retainage policy whatsoever. So, in that case. this is simply something that, it's a kind of a belt and suspenders model.
That's fine.
Well, for the sake of efficiency, if there's no objection, I would recommend that we allow staff to handle that, and once it's done, present it to the board for acceptance. Is there any objection to that?
Just a point of clarification, just a little bit of background. Why was it implemented in this way? Was it just thought of oversight?
Again, the trust indenture, which is part of the tollway's existence, requires a retainage policy.
No, I understand the retainage, but the oversight from the directors on your point at $4 million or $50,000, I mean, it just seems like
the long-standing tollway policy, Director Sauer.
There's no understanding of why.
No, sir.
Yeah, it's a little illogical. I like your thinking. I'd be for it.
So if there's no other discussion,
we'll move forward with some recommendations for the board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. One question, Paul.
Yes.
On that 50% complete,
yep.
Is there any way to, are there any safeguards to ensure that the small business minority contractors are part of that 50% completion? Because the way I see it there, if they are pushed down to the last 10%, then that could dramatically affect the performance of minority-owned businesses. They don't have that type of access to capital. They don't have that type of cash flow. So I would recommend that you make note of that, and that in that first 50%, the payment to the subs that are small businessmen and women is reflected. I don't know how we do that, but we should find a way for that to happen.
So Chairman, we evaluate that and come up with a recommendation for you to address that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Chief Kovacs? If not, we have our final presentation for this morning's meeting is a presentation of the quarterly financial review for the second quarter ending June 30th, 2015. And here to present is our Chief of Finance, Mike Kelch.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We do present on a quarterly basis a comparison of our financial results relative to the budget that was prepared and approved at the end of last year, prior to the start of 2015. This is a presentation for the second quarter. A reminder that the tollway generates about $1 billion